If Jesus Christ, the pure and holy Son of God, was willing to place his hand upon an unclean leper to make him clean, then we may be sure that he is willing to have compassion on anyone who comes to him. Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, Jesus cleansing the unclean. As you listen to this message, may the Spirit of God reveal the love and purity of Jesus Christ to you in a way that opens up your heart to Him and allows you to experience His cleansing power.
The word leprosy was even more dreaded in biblical times than the word cancer today. It was the worst, by far, the most dreaded of all diseases. And there are five things that all forms of leprosy, and there were different forms of leprosy in those days, just like there are different forms of cancer today. All five of these things I want to mention now are in common for every form of leprosy. Number one, it's an inherited disease. It's a communicable disease. It was highly infectious. It worked insidiously, and it spread usually with deadly rapidity. The worst kind of leprosy, which apparently this man had, would slowly progress, usually from the head down to the feet, until the person was, as Luke 5 describes this man in the parallel account, full of leprosy. Secondly, it was a loathsome disease. It was so loathsome that it was called a state of living death. Some people called lepers walking sepulchers. It involved discoloration of skin, open and oozing sores, loss of sensation, loss of hair, spreading ulceration. Nerves would die, causing injuries to go unnoticed. Fingers and toes and even the nose would gradually waste away. Vision would be impaired. Blindness would commonly result. And after a while, a full-blown, aggressive disease would overtake the deeper human organs and kill the person. It was a loathsome disease. And then, thirdly, it was a shameful disease. It was an object of shame. It was dealt with by banishment. The leper was excluded from family and friends. He carried with him utter humiliation every moment of his life. There was never a moment he could escape his dreaded disease. If anyone were to touch him, that person was unclean. He could never be touched by another human being. And if there were people, even in the distance, he had to take a rag or a cloth and cover his face with his hands and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And people would run from him. And he would have to run from people as well. In a sense, he was, in a very real sense, he was excommunicated from the life of God's people, from the public worship of God, from the walled cities of his day. No leper was allowed inside of a walled city. He could come into certain unwalled villages, but then he had to stay on the other side of the street. And when he saw people, the cry would always have to go out of his lips, "Unclean, unclean." And fourthly, it was a judicial disease. Leprosy was commonly regarded as God's judgment upon an individual. Think of Gehazi. Think of Miriam and Aaron. Think of King Uzziah. You know, when Miriam was afflicted with leprosy, Aaron said, "Alas, my Lord," to Moses, "I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly." You see, it was connected often with God's judgment upon sin. And fifthly, it was an incurable disease. There was no solution, no human answer, no prescribed remedy, no means even that could be used. Only a divine miracle could heal. This is the kind of man that now comes to Jesus. And you see, in all of these things, there's just a tremendous parallel between our natural state with this leper. By nature, you and I, boys and girls, and parents and grandparents, whether young or old, we are all spiritually leprous. Sin eats away at us, almost imperceptibly. We've inherited its pollution from our parents, its guilt from our covenanted Adam. We are shapen, says a psalm, shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. Sin is our communicable, deadly disease that poisons us, spoils our accomplishments. We are spiritual lepers. So by nature, we're living in a state of death, living death. Alive physically, but dead spiritually, totally depraved. Every part of us stained by sin. Every part of us, our will, our mind, our emotions, our soul, unacceptable in the sight of God. Filled with loathsome disease, walking sepulchres, objects of shame, banished from God in His communion, without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. Spurgeon put it so well. And he said, by nature, we've, no matter what we accomplish in this life, without God, we've got coffins on our back and we'll soon have grave dust in our mouth. And you see, the tragedy of all this is that our disease is humanly incurable. We can't resolve it ourselves. There's no apparent solution. There's no human answer. Only the Holy Spirit can miraculously give us that new birth, turn us around, convince us of sin, draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ, show us our leprosy. One of our greatest problems is we're lepers and we don't know it. We're blind to our own leprosy. But when the Spirit works, you see, then we too will come like this leper to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. My sin, my leprosy. Oh, if thou wilt, canst thou make me clean? That's the amazing thing here. Not just the leprosy, but that this man comes to Jesus. Luke tells us that this happened in one of the villages or cities. Obviously, it was an unwalled city or the leper wouldn't be allowed there. And according to Matthew 8, verse 1, in the other parallel account, we read that a multitude was nearby. This was an amazing thing for a leper to be near a multitude of people in an unwalled city, crying out, no doubt, unclean, unclean, but then coming directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. A leper suddenly approaches Jesus. And if he's an obedient Jew, as he probably was, even as he approached, you see, the hand was on his lips and the towel was over his mouth and he was crying out, unclean, unclean. But verse 40 says that he came and beseeched him and kneeling down to him, he fell on his knees. And Matthew tells us that he fell on his face. He just took the lowest posture before the Lord Jesus. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How this is astonishing. You see, there was another time in Luke 17 where there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, but they stood afar off, kept their distance, and they cried out saying, heal us. But this leper is in desperation. He's bold. He breaks the law, as it were. He comes straight to Jesus, covered in leprosy, full of leprosy, says Luke. He's risking his life. He's risking every remnant of reputation that he might yet have in his shame. Nothing can keep him from Jesus. It's Jesus or he perishes forever. He's desperate. He knows his only hope is Jesus. So he comes. He falls on his knees with his face to the ground. He begs. He pleads for mercy in desperation. Have you ever come to Jesus this way? No matter what people would say or think about you. Or are you blind, perhaps even apathetic to your own spiritual leprosy? Or worse, content and even in love with your own spiritual leprosy? Are you slaves of sin that enjoy the prison of sin? Do not even long to be freed from that prison? Or have you needed Jesus so badly in your life to cleanse you from your sin that nothing and no one could keep you from him? And you came just as you were. You came in your filth. You came experientially, casting your all at his feet, earnestly begging for his cleansing for your fully leprous soul. Even though you felt, I'm incurable. I'm a hell-worthy outcast. I have no rights to mercy. But have you come, leprous from head to toe, come needing absolutely to be cleansed, desperately to be cleansed from your sin, though it all seems so impossible? Or maybe better yet, are you coming every day now? For in some senses, you see, in terms of sanctification, we still are coming lepers, as it were. We defile ourselves every day, and we bring our sin-stained soul, when things are right within us, every day to Jesus for mercy, for pardon, for strength. You see, now you're beginning to get the picture that this leper actually possessed a kind of remarkable faith. All his faith was in Jesus. There was no other hope, no other source of refuge. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See, it's all thou. Thou must do it. And it's personal. Thou canst make me clean. Not the other leper over there. But I need to be cleansed. That's what happens, you see, when the Spirit works in our hearts. A sense of our spiritual leprosy becomes a personal matter between God and our own soul. He has to do the work. But it needs to be done to me. And I come believing that he can do the impossible for me. So this leper has no question about the ability of the Lord Jesus. Even though everyone else said leprosy is incurable, he knows that Jesus is able to cure. He has an unshakable confidence in Jesus' ability. Even though he's still uncertain as to the will of Jesus to cleanse him in particular. And it's interesting that is just an incredible parallel spiritually too. This is the way, not always, but usually, God leads his people, convicting them of sin and then bringing them to Jesus. And they begin to see that Jesus can do for them, and he alone can do for them what they need to have done for them. But then the question often is, isn't it? And many of you know that question. But will he do it for me? I believe he's almighty. I believe he'd do it for anyone else. But for me, such a leper as I am, will he do it for me? That's the question. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, you may ask the question, why did he express himself that way? Now, part of the answer, as commentators point out, may well have been that there was no precedent up to this time of Jesus cleansing a leper. Actually, we only read of two cleansings of lepers in the Gospels, this man and then the 10 lepers in Luke 17. And yet, when John asks about Jesus' ministry, Jesus tells the people who ask the question, John's disciples, to go back to John and tell them this. Go back to John and tell him that lepers are cleansed. So there must have been more that weren't recorded. Maybe the leper heard of one of those, but maybe this is still, by the way, of course, remember Jesus' beginning of ministry. So we don't know, but whatever the case may have been, certainly there had not yet been many cleansings at this early point. And yet this is going to be so typical of Jesus' ministry that when Jesus describes his ministry to John, he says, go tell John that lepers are cleansed. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the character of Jesus. Jesus loves to cleanse even more than the body from leprosy, the soul from spiritual leprosy. This is his delight. This is his joy. This is the staple of his ministry. Go, preacher, and tell. The good news of the gospel is what Jesus is saying. That lepers, spiritual lepers, are cleansed by me. But also, this man not only has a remarkable faith, he has an intelligent and submissive faith. His theology is actually astonishingly well developed here. He's saying something like this, really. Thou art the Lord. In fact, Luke says he calls upon him as Lord. And he may well have done that beyond the polite form of sir. He may have recognized some deity in Jesus, or that Jesus was the Messiah. Lord, if thou canst, thou wilt, or if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he's saying, thou art the Lord, the Almighty, the Sovereign Lord. Thy will is the supreme determiner of everything in thy universe. I have no doubt about thy power, Lord. But I'm not going to presume on thy sovereign will. I don't deserve healing. But if thou art willing, thou canst do it. So this man has a kind of submission. He bows before Jesus. He needs him desperately. But he realizes he doesn't deserve it. So he bows, just like a sinner, wrought upon by the Holy Spirit today, comes to a place in his life, usually more than once, where he says, Lord, I bow. I don't deserve mercy, but I cast myself upon mercy. What about you? You personally this morning. Do you know these experiential leadings of the Spirit with your own spiritual leprosy? Some of you, I know, are in this place. Some of you actually are fearing that he will not have mercy on you. Or some of you are saying, I just don't dare to come because I've sinned too much. I'm too wicked. My heart is too hard. I'm too insignificant, too leprous for him to show compassion to me. Why would God bother with a person who's sinned so many years, so many decades, a worthless outcast like me? Why show compassion to someone like me? That's the way we reason humanly when we begin to see who we are. But that's not gospel reasoning. Listen to what Jesus does in verse 41. He's the compassionate cleanser. Our second thought, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. It's the word of a king. We saw that earlier in Mark 1. He's got authority, you see. I will, be thou clean. Actually, Jesus shows here three compassionate actions. As compassionate cleanser. First is compassion itself. Jesus moved with compassion. You know, the Hebrews had a much more vigorous way of describing inner emotions than we do. We sometimes say, oh, my heart is moved. Focusing on one internal organ. But the word here in Greek actually means the upper viscera. That would include the heart, the lungs, the liver, the spleen, the stomach. In other words, my whole insides are moved. That's the word used here. Jesus has a deep, visceral feeling of pity toward this man. Boys and girls, you know that feeling you get when you're so moved by someone else's hurt and someone else's needs that your stomach tightens and tears fill your eyes. Well, that's the kind of compassion Jesus felt here. He looks upon this mass of human misery, this living death of leprosy. And he doesn't say, well, like society would, when you've seen one, you've seen them all. Get this man out of my sight. No, his whole being is moved. Jesus, moved with compassion. This is who he is. And then his second action. Touch. Astonishing. I think the crowd must have shrieked or groaned or something. The multitude, what? He's going to touch? He's going to touch a leper? He's going to make himself unclean? Jesus stretches forth his hand, tenderly touches this man who's full of leprosy. Who's crying out, unclean, unclean. He stretches out his hand. Gasps of horror and shock would come from the multitude. And then he speaks. That's the third thing. His words. His compassion, his touch, and now his words. And saith unto him. You see, you weren't even supposed to speak to a leper. But he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus' words correspond exactly to the express need of the leper. You see the parallels of, it's obvious. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will be thou clean. He's a God who hears prayer, who hears the cry of the needy. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If thou wilt, and he says, I am willing. I'm not only able, leper, I'm willing as well. I will do more than you can ask or think. I will. And once my will is committed, my word will bring to pass what my will decrees. I will. When Jesus says, I will. He commands and it stands firm. You see, when Christ's ability and willingness and words, Christ's ability and willingness and words meet at the same time, everything changes. Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately, there's that word again coming out in Mark, all throughout Mark, immediately, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, no delays, no process, no stages of healing, no antibiotics for weeks, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Completely cleansed. He must have looked at his skin, don't you think? And body parts that were wearing away are miraculously grew back. In a moment, the leprosy, with all of its attendant circumstances, shrunk back at the Word who created all things. The same Word, the living Word, Jesus, who spoke all things into existence. Powerfully, compassionately, speaks to make lepers clean of leprosy and sinners still today clean from sin. And so this man is rendered clean because he no longer has this dread disease. Just as a poor spiritual leper who's brought by the Holy Spirit to trust in Christ is cleansed of his sin and is justified before God for Christ's sake. It's almost too good to be true. And yet the leper looks, and it is true. It is true. One moment he's crying out, unclean, unclean. And now, clean, clean. By the word, by the touch, by the compassion of Jesus Christ. And my friend, Jesus can do that for you as well. He can do that in an instant. That is the kind of compassion he has for people like you and me. A compassion that is not only perfectly able, but also totally willing. Never doubt the power or the willingness of Jesus Christ to forgive sins and to cleanse you from unrighteousness. He loves to forgive sins. He's in the business of forgiveness. When he declares you forgiven, you are immediately forgiven. When he declares you clean, you are considered clean. Oh yes, the process of sanctification continues. But when you're declared righteous with God, that's what you are. There's no delay. The living Word says it. And when he says it, it is done. The old has passed away and the new has come. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That when a poor sinner casts himself by faith on the Son of God, that in a moment, Jesus cleanses that sinner. Do you believe the gospel? That he comes not to seek the well, but to seek and heal the sick. Don't believe that you are beyond help, that you are too unclean for his compassion. This is a faithful saying and worthy to be accepted of all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, says Paul, I am chief. You can't get beyond chief, can you? He's the Almighty. He's the great, almighty, willing, one-sided, sovereign, gracious, compassionate cleanser who really cleanses chief sinners. Oh, you say, but why me? Why me? Why would he ever notice me? No, you don't understand the gospel. The gospel's question is, why not me? Because I am a sinner. That's the gospel. Psalm 25, pardon mine iniquity, Lord, for it is great. Not because it's small. Don't tidy up yourself. Don't try to change yourself and reform yourself into salvation. Come just as you are, as a big sinner to a big Savior, to a compassionate cleanser, and say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he will. He will. He's promised never to cast out those who come to him. Come then just as you are, with all your leprosy. Don't hide a tad of it from him. Come full of leprosy. Cast yourself upon him unreservedly.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.